Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers! Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 315 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio, and thanks for giving this episode a listen. And it is here, finally, folks, the 18th preview of the final club for 2024. And I'd like to say I saved the best for last as a Cat supporter. You may differ. But in this episode, I am going to be joined again by Ben Reeve of The Hoop Show, and we're going to be previewing the Geelong Cats for 2024. Very excited about this conversation. I've spoken with Ben a number of times and absolutely looking forward to this chat. Now, don't forget that if you're interested in having your local footy club getting a shout out during an upcoming episode, I do hope you'll reach out to me on my socials. You can find all of those over at my website, ayankonthefooty.com. You can reach me by email at ayankonthefooty@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Love to hear from you. Love being able to highlight those local clubs. And today's club of the episode are the Maipalonga Tigers of the River Murray Football League in South Australia. Now, this club was founded back in 1931, and they've won 8 premierships through their course of their history. And last year, they finished up as the runners-up in the league at the senior level. Now, they're most definitely celebrating at the moment as both their A and B grade cricket squads won their respective championships, I believe, just yesterday. And the club also is over the moon, ecstatic, thrilled, happy, because they were recently awarded a $500,000 state grant for the club. And I am linking to an article from the local newspaper about that. And on 14 March, the club's going to be holding, I believe it's from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m., a new facility information meeting at the Maipo Combined Sports Club. And sounds like they're going to be updating the canteen and the changing rooms and that sort of thing. Now, the senior side, on the football side, they open up their 2024 fixture in a rematch of the River Murray League 2023 Grand Final as they travel to face the Gervois Bloods, and I hope it's Gervois, it might be Gervois Bloods, at the Gervois Combined Sports Club. And I want to wish the Tigers the absolute best in 2024, and I want to congratulate them on their grant that they have received. And it's going to be great to see what they do in terms of renovating the facilities there. So let's go ahead and jump into my chat with Ben Reeve of the Hoops Crew as we preview his Geelong Cats and my Geelong Cats. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am absolutely thrilled to, well, for a couple of things. One, this is the 18th and final preview for me for this year. I have the other 17 all recorded. I have 2 more to get out before this one. And I saved my club for last, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be previewing my Geelong Cats with Ben Reeve from the Hoops Crew. Ben, how are you doing, sir?
So I'm doing lovely today. It's a Wednesday morning in Australia, and I've got the morning off from work. And it's about, less than 2 weeks now to Geelong plays their first game. So I'm excited. I think the Geelong fans are starting to get excited, especially the Geelong Nuffies like me are getting a little bit excited about footy just around the corner. Opening round starts in a couple of days. So that'll be a little bit of a teaser for us.
Right. We did, I think it was episode 293. It was a couple of months back. You came on. We did kind of like the post-mortem for the club, which, things kind of, had a great percentage, just, lost some games they shouldn't have lost, had a lot of little niggles here and there that kept the club from maybe being as good as it could have been last year. Cause I don't think there was necessarily a real drop off from, premiership winner to 12th on the ladder. I think there were a lot of things that went along with that, and injuries are not an excuse, but we talked about that. How do you replace, your longtime captain as well? We're not going to rehash all of that, but, we're looking ahead to 2024, and, there are a lot of people who are not necessarily thinking great things about the Cats this year. I was reading on Code Sports just before you hopped on here that the captains had their selections this year in terms of who they thought were going to be playing finals. And, Collingwood got 17 votes, you know, because they're not allowed to vote for their own club. And have you happen to see this list yet?
Yeah.
The Cats got two votes. Two people, two captains said that they're playing finals this year.
I'm sure that wouldn't have been the Hawthorn captain. It seems to be across journalism, across the AFL captains' clubs. So, yeah, everyone doesn't rate Geelong at all this year. Most people have Geelong mid-table, around 10, 9, 10 or 11 on the ladder.
Right.
Geelong supporters, as you would expect, probably have them in the finals at least. Some more optimistic Geelong supporters like myself and a few people from the Hoops Crew media network probably have the Cats making the top four or just maybe missing out on the top four. We'll see how things go.
Well, and, you know, I'm not sure if we're a top four side this year. The talent is certainly there. You know, you're going to need to have some youngsters that turn up for them this year, most definitely. But, you know, I think we're going to have some of the seasoned veterans, you know, stay fresh and you know, be as successful and stay healthy, if at all possible for that to happen. Yeah, I'm still putting my ladder together. I don't think I'm going to have them in the four. But when you look at it though, you know, you look at the fact that they've got a schedule, their fixture this year is not a top eight side fixture. So they have, you know, you've got the Hawks twice, you've got the Bulldogs, that's an enigma of a club. You never know what you're going to get with the Bulldogs. You know, they've got the Roos twice, and I think the Roos are actually going to be going the other way. I think the Roos are going to be ascending a little bit. How far, I don't know, but I think it's going to be a better side than they have been the last couple of years. But, you know, they've got an opportunity to maybe win some games that maybe people weren't expecting them to win.
Yeah, I think the fixture's not too bad for Geelong. When it came out, I definitely wasn't unhappy with it. I always like playing Hawthorn twice, even though Hawthorn will be a side that worries me somewhat. The Kangaroos, we've got them twice as well, which is pretty lucky. The ones that I'm a bit worried about, though, in terms of who we play twice is Adelaide, who most people are saying are going to be making a big improvement this year.
And Carlton,
who again, most people are saying are probably going to go okay. It might depend on when we play Carlton. They're a club that when they get on a run, they're pretty hard to stop. But if the wheels have started to fall off, that'd be the probably time to play them.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe early in the season, like when they beat us last year when we weren't traveling too well. That was the perfect time to get us, I suppose. But I think it all comes down to injuries. I think you said as long as the older guys can stay relatively injury-free. I think it's a combination of that and also some other younger guys pushing up. Just enough to A, give the older guys a chance to have a rest,
right,
and B, to put a little bit of pressure on them as well, and say, okay, look, guys, there's still something worth playing for here.
Yeah,
we're not going through the motions. We've got a premiership to win, but if it's looking really tough, and the Cats are, you know, going to finish the year 7, 8, 9 or something like that, the motivation's there. They're professional athletes, but it's probably not as high as if you think, oh, we could win the whole thing here. You know, players know that. Is there a genuine chance or not to win the whole thing? Everyone wants to play finals, but most, there's probably a handful of teams that genuinely think they can win it. And so hopefully we're in that position about three quarters of the way through the season.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at the list, and, you know, it's a very veteran side. And I think that I honestly, I don't know if we're still listed as the oldest club in the comp, but I think we're like number two, we're number one or two, I think.
We're in the top four, definitely. Yeah.
But you know, you got so many people who are on the north side of 30. And you know, as a 60-year-old person, I have a hard time calling somebody who's 30 old. You know, for our sake of argument here, you know, you look at the top, the people who are 30 years of age or older, and 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them, 10 out of the 11 who are 30 or older are in your best 22. And we have to, I think we have to start to think that this may be the last go round for many of these young men, regardless of how things turn out in 2024. And, you know, hopefully the, you know, list management is starting to do some research on who likes to do a lot of fishing and wants to head south for next year.
Or surfing.
Yeah, there you go.
Or farming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of farmland in Geelong and people love their surfing as well. We often get some guys from WA, but any footballer in Victoria, and Victoria is not big. I'm trying to think mm-hmm. what you compare it to, but there's a lot of people that are from a country town, I suppose, of 20,000, 10,000 people, that kind of population that maybe the idea of moving to a city with 5 to 6 million people maybe isn't that appealing. And
right,
maybe
right.
Something a bit more, I wouldn't say docile is the right word, but yeah, something slower pace than Melbourne. Melbourne is only 60 minutes from Geelong for anyone who's watching this from overseas. It's right. Not that far away. So you've got the best of both worlds in Geelong. Perfect setup.
So do you think that, you know, looking at what has happened to West Coast over the last couple of years and their precipitous, do we call it a collapse or do we just call it if we're going to be polite, do we call it a fall? Or a stumble, you know, is that a cautionary tale for, you know, Geelong? Is it a cautionary tale for Richmond? And to an extent, Hawthorne, who kind of did the same type teardown that West Coast is now kind of going through as well.
Feels like we're putting off the inevitable to maintain our position at the top of the ladder. And yes, you could say last year we finished 12th and maybe it didn't work last year, but I think a lot of people are also saying we're not going to bottom out this year. If anything, we're just going to, most people are saying we'll slightly improve. And that's really an acknowledgement of the injuries that we had. But you do get this foreboding sense that the cliff is approaching and you really hope and trust. And I do trust the club that they're managing that well. I was surprised to realize the other day that we had 5 debutants at Geelong last year. And that's just first year players. I think we had like 8 or something like that altogether, but that were from other clubs as well. So we had our season preview episode last night, which hasn't aired yet. I'm not sure when this episode goes live now, but we were talking about how many we might have this time around. So maybe another 4 or 5. So that could be 9 to 10 in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's how many of these older guys retire all at once. That's the part that worries me, not so much the age profile and how they will play as a unit at that age. It's more about how do we replace them if they all retire together or 4 at a time or things like that. So
yeah, which is a distinct possibility because, you know, you look at the list and it's a distinct possibility that this could be it for, you know, possibly Tom Hawkins. It could be it for Mitch Duncan, Zach Tui, you know, who is a, you know, a very gritty player, but is grit going to be enough to keep him on the list next year when you know, when he's going to be competing for, you know, for midfield time with, you know, a Jai Clark or something like that. That's going to, you know, it's going to try to become the next decade worth of midfielder for this side. You know, it's a natural progression. It, you know, it's kind of the circle of life, if you will, Hakuna Matata and all that good stuff.
Exactly. I think Tui was an interesting one for me in the off season. I thought that might have been it for him. That maybe that was a good time to retire. I didn't begrudge him that he wanted to go on for another year. I'm just wondering what kind of conversations he's had with the club about what his role will look like. Have they been, is he being honest with himself? Is the club being honest with him? Maybe they genuinely believe he's in their best 22 or 23 and he'll play all the games this year if he's fit. My gut would tell me that he's probably going to accept some time at the lower level to give some other kids opportunity. And I think that's the fine balancing act at the club. Has to play. You don't want to gift games to young guys. Yes, you've got to get them to some of them to 50 games because you don't know until you've seen them play. But you also want them to really earn it as well. So, and not just drop a guy to the lower levels just because he's over the age of 30.
Yeah, and it's you know, when you know, I was wondering, do we see him? And I'm drawing a blank on the name right here now. Is it as we're getting, you know, the gentleman that came over from the Ruse, it was with the Cats for a couple of years, that left before last year. I could not remember the last name. I knew it was Sean. I cannot remember the last name. I mean, you know, Higgins kind of was relegated to not, you know, he didn't play much. And I'll be honest, I don't even know if he play VFL or was, you know, he was listed as an emergency a few times.
He played a fair bit, but not a lot. It was a combination of injury and form, and but I think that was just, unfortunately, his body started to give way.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. And Luke Dalhouse was the other one that had a couple of good years at the Cats, but then, yeah, just again, injuries and form, and some other younger kids really stepped up. And and you know, it's a tough one, isn't it? Do you hold a kid back?
Gary Rowan
who might be 10% better than him, and on paper is probably should be in the best 23, but but you're holding someone's development back as well. So those are the tough decisions that coaching panels, selection panels have to make.
Yeah, you know, Gary Rowan has had little injuries here and there over the last couple of years where, you know, he's not been able to get out on the track on a consistent basis. And you wonder, you know, when he's healthy, he's one of the dynamic players with the handful of times that he gets his hand on the ball. But it you know, there have been enough times where he's been out. And, you know, is he going to hold back, you know, somebody who might be better off getting, you know, game experience in 2024 so it pays off in 2026, you know, as the club is maybe ready to make that ascendancy again. Because, you know, you look at some of these young people who are behind the veterans, you know, you look at like Shannon Neal and you're thinking, wow, that kid could be something special. But of course, you know, you've got Jeremy Cameron, you've got Tom Hawkins. You don't tell Tom Hawkins, no, sorry, you're out to pay. You don't do that. It doesn't happen. He's going to decide, I think, when the time is right for him to go. And hopefully Shannon Neal is okay with that and is going to be ready to, you know, be to fire when it's his time. And maybe they work him in a game or two here and there during the course of the year, you know. And you know, same thing with Toby Conway in the Ruck. You know, is this, you know, Reece Stanley's last go around? And Reece Stanley moves pretty well for a Ruck. He covers a lot of ground. He's not Max Gaughan, but he covers the ground a lot better than a lot of other bigger Rucks. He's a much more mobile Ruck than many others are. But there's so many variables here with this club that, you know, as you said, it's just, you know, we have to wait and go week by week. We cannot hit the fast forward button and see what, you know, let's go take a peek at what it's going to be like after round 6 and round 12 and round 16. And, you know, we can't do it.
We've got a lot of exciting young players, but yeah. just because they we've seen glimpses of what they could be doesn't mean that they will turn out to be what we hope that they will be. They may become future All Australians. They may become. They may take us to another premiership. But you know, they haven't proven anything either.
Right.
So if I'm a senior player over the age of 30, and I'm like, well, I think I'm better than this other young person. The club thinks I'm better than them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always about that. Sometimes it is about, okay, you are better than this person, but this person's here for the next 10 years and we need to get them to a point so that we can challenge for a premiership in 12 to 24 months. Yes, you're better right now, but for the long term, it doesn't benefit us. So it's always a tough one, especially when you know that you deserve to be in the team based on your performances are better than a younger guy. So it's tough.
And this is not the American saying that this should happen, but there's been discussion about the, you know, it's not happening this year, but it sounds like it's the mid-season trade period is coming in next year. You know, this may be, you know, if they're scuffling next year and you have a quality veteran player that, you know, that could come in and fill a role, you know, if they're mired, you know, in the bottom half of the ladder next year, and again, touch wood, it's not happening, you know, that's where, you know, like in sport here in the U.S. like with, you know, with baseball, you know, you have a team who may have a great, you know, starting pitcher for their team that when that team is ready to contend again, that pitcher is going to be, you know, a free agent, or they're going to be close to being retired. So that club may trade that player to somebody who is ready to go win a championship or a World Series then, and bring in a lot of young prospects that can come in and fill that club's roster into the future, for the next 7 or 8 years, instead of, you know, that person that's going to be with them for maybe one more year. So that's one of the things. And again, I'm not advocating for it. I'm not saying it, but if that comes in, I think you're going to see where there's going to be instances where clubs are going to do that. And I'd always use, before he left North Melbourne, the example of Todd Goldstein. You know, Todd Goldstein was not going to be the ruck for the Roos the next time they played finals, but he could have possibly helped another club play finals. And of course he went to Essendon, so we know how that works out there. How long has it been now? Been a couple hundred decades or years, or, you know, before the game was invented, since they last won. Oh, okay. Something. If you're an Essendon supporter, you're not going to be happy with that, but yeah. So does the whole idea of the midseason trade, is that something that intrigues you at least a little bit?
I think if you're a contender, I think it's interesting and exciting. If you're a team maybe down the bottom of the ladder that, let's use that sort of older player example again. If you're a team in the bottom four of the ladder and you're not getting games because the club has taken a very, very strict youth policy.
Well, that's a good point too.
They're saying, well, we're not going to play you anymore because there's these kids we want to get games into, and we know we're not going to win this year, but there's no point playing you anymore. That's probably the situation where I'd like to see the mid-season draft work, give these senior players that aren't going to get an opportunity at a struggling club. And maybe doesn't necessarily mean they jump into a premiership contender situation.
Right. That's true.
But maybe there's somewhere sort of, there is a club out there, hopefully, that needs a player like them to step in. Now, what I don't really want to see is a top four team make themselves stronger. I think it should benefit the player, the mid-season draft, rather than the clubs, hopefully. And I haven't really thought it through too much, but I would hope that the strong clubs don't get stronger, and then the top four and the bottom, the top four and then the 5 to 8, it's not really much of a competition then. It's just, if anything, you want things to be as tight as they can in the finals to make it more exciting.
Right, right.
Not for a Collingwood, for example, to add another former All-Australian who can't get a game at the moment or something like that.
Yeah, so. That's one of the things that happens with that sort of thing in baseball here, is that, you know, when they're trading draft picks, where, you know, the team that wants the player that, you know, maybe they have a catastrophic injury to their ruck, and, you know, somebody had to go out and get, you know, Todd Goldstein from North Melbourne. Well, North Melbourne might be able to say, well, we want your second and third round picks in the upcoming draft for him. So it's something that may help that other club in the short term, but it would help North Melbourne with him having still been there, to replenish their draft stocks to help get their club built and back into contention more quickly. You know, try to fast forward that, if you will. That's how a lot of those younger clubs that are still trying to build will do that, and they'll trade like a really good player. And baseball is a good example, but it's also a bad example because baseball here does not have a salary cap. So you got some teams, that are paying their entire roster, they're paying them $40 million. And then you have somebody like the Los Angeles Dodgers, who were paying their entire team like $250 million. So there's a huge disparity there.
A lot of us have seen the Moneyball movie.
Yeah. Exactly. You got the Oakland A's. Yeah. And yeah. I did see that they released imagery of the new ballpark that the A's are moving to Las Vegas.
Oh no.
And they released imagery of what the new ballpark is going to look like. And it looks an awful lot like the Sydney Opera House.
To look at that one.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. So enough about all of that. We're done with the trade period here. So what new faces on the club are going to make the biggest impacts this year? We've got a lot of veterans. We know what they're capable of doing. Hopefully they stay healthy and, you know, you know, Hawkins is kicking his 55 or 60 goals and Cameron's getting 55 or 60. Hopefully Stengel bounces back this year as well. You know, and takes a few, you know, few goals away from Ollie Henry. Who are the youngsters you're most looking forward to?
Well, the name you just mentioned, Ollie Henry, he's the one that I'm tipping to kick more than 55 goals this year and become an All-Australian for the first time. That's probably me putting myself out there and making a bold call on that one. But I think 41 goals last year or thereabouts, I think he's got another couple of gears to go through. And I can see if all the pieces click at Geelong, he'll be a beneficiary of that. And I can just see, and with Gary, more opportunity with Gary Rowan. Not that they're exactly the same type of player, but with more opportunities for that mid-size forward role, you can see him really taking another step. Hopefully he missed the last community series practice game of the year, but hopefully that's not too bad and he'll be ready to go round one. So he's one I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
From some of the newer guys, though, there's a guy from the Victorian Football League who we drafted, Sean Manor.
Sean Manor.
Very excited to see, and a lot of he looked okay the other day. In the second half that he came on for. So he should probably get picked for round one, and I think that makes him the 1,113th player to wear the hoops at Geelong. But then you've got Connor O'Sullivan, who is our first pick in the draft, in the national draft. So he's everything we hear and everything we've seen from him is all really, really positive. So expect to see a lot of Connor O'Sullivan this year, and I think more than 10 games I think is probably reasonable, I hope. But another one that's probably not getting spoken about a lot, and I don't know how much we'll see of him, but I really like Lawson Humphreys, a Western Australian kid.
Okay.
I think he's got a bit of silk about him, so I don't think we'll see him straight away. But look for him later in the year, I think, after he's had a bit more time to find his way around the club and his teammates and so forth. He's an interesting one for me. I could go through the whole lot, but I want all these young kids to get a game. Unfortunately, history would tell you probably of anyone, of all the senior listed players that haven't yet debuted, only probably 20 to 25% of them will get an opportunity. So, and then some of them will be out the door next year without even having a chance.
Well,
so,
you know, Cooper White was not
Cooper White
there very long before he headed out.
He got a game or two and then he's out. Oscar Riccardi didn't even get a game and he's out, but fortunately not just because you get drafted doesn't mean you got to play AFL,
right.
But it's exciting.
And you know, I hate to call it a blessing in disguise, but in terms of getting game experience for some of these youngsters that you mentioned, especially the ones in the midfield, you know, I was devastated to see Cam Guthrie's injury. I was devastated to see that, you know, 5 seconds into the, you know, after the first bounce and, you know, he pops the tendon in his quad. And that's something, you know, I have no idea how long that's going to take to repair or get healthy again. And, you know, this is now, you know, completely different injury that he dealt with last year, but still, you know, they're saying he might be missing close to 10 rounds this year, which, you know, is going to open up an opportunity for some of these other young midfielders to step up, which at least maybe in that position that, you know, cause again, is Cam Guthrie going to be on, you know, and I'm being optimistic here because I've got this thing hanging behind me and I want a new one. Is Cam Guthrie going to be on the next Cats premiership team? Probably not.
Yeah. You could have asked me that about Joel Selwood and Patrick Dangerfield a couple of years ago.
That's fair.
I thought it was all finished after we got thrashed by Melbourne in the preliminary final in 2021.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, well, we've gone a little bit too long here with this list. We're paying the price. But I definitely don't want to have egg on my face and say that's going to happen. I think Cam Guthrie, I think they said 8 to 10 weeks, and that was maybe a month out before the season started. So they may have said round 8 or 10, but I think they said 8 or 10 weeks of an injury. So
I might have read
hopefully
that
means he's only missing maybe 25% of the season and is coming back relatively early. Hopefully, I think they'll be very cautious with his return, though. And
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him back through the VFL for a few games. But look, it's been a tough road for him. It's almost like he's left the club for a year. And we haven't had. I mean, he's there, and we keep thinking about how good it'd be to have Cam Guthrie, but in reality, we've had to make do without him we're probably going to have to make do without him for almost a full year of football.
Right, right.
And it gives opportunities for players, not just one player, but a handful of players to take that opportunity, and for some other players that are in the team to have more responsibility as well, which I think is probably more important. You know, guys that maybe, you know, aren't asked to do as much because of their age or experience. They're saying, okay, now we need you. There's more on you now. You need to step up and take this on. So, you know, hopefully he gets back, because I think he's a much loved player at Geelong, two-time Kaji Greaves best and fairest medalist. So,
and you know,
I hope this isn't the end of his story.
Right, and you know, when you really stop and you look at it, you've got. And first of all, I hope that Max Holmes is in the hoops again in 2025. I keep hearing rumblings that you know, that maybe elsewhere. But if that happens, I want the negotiation that the Cats just had with Port Adelaide about Asava Radaglia to look like us hopping in the car and driving him to Port Adelaide, compared to what they're going to put that other club through to get Max Holmes. I mean, I'm wanting multiple picks for that young man if he's going anywhere. And first of all, I don't want those picks. I want him to stay there. But you know, you look at the youngsters that you've got in that midfield. I mean, you know, Tanner Bruin, Holmes, Nevitt has looked good. You know, Jai Clark, we only saw him for a quarter. But you know, they and again, we don't know what he's going to become. But when they drafted him, they kept saying that he is someone-esque, that he reminds us so much of this guy who just left the club. You're going to love him. We saw him for a quarter. You know, there is a lot of young talent in that midfield that is going to, and do they start rotating some of those guys through there? Do they play the hot hand, you know, while Guthrie is out, and just whoever's had, you know, and granted, you know, Holmes' spot is there. Bruin's spot is pretty much there. So, you know, Nevitt and Clark are going to kind of be battling for that spot, and Sean Manna probably as well, to see who's going to be taking that other spot in the midfield right now. So, I mean, in a way, it's a good problem to have. So they have brought in an awful lot of depth, but it's just unproven as of right now. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens.
I like the idea of Geelong sending its goons to Collingwood to you know, put the fear through them. You're right, we're going to have to do everything we can to keep this guy. Hopefully he's just doing the right thing by himself and asking for the best price. And
yeah,
and letting football do the talking in the first part of this year. And hopefully that contract's not too far away. I'd be worried though if Geelong's form really dropped off poorly and he's looking across at Collingwood thinking, oh, they're going pretty well. I don't know what Collingwood would offer us. They wouldn't get a lot in terms of draft picks, I don't think, unless they're quite creative. But that would tear the heart and soul out of the Geelong footy club for the next few years if he left.
I'd be content with maybe one of those Dacos brothers if that was
Well, yeah, one or two. Well, yeah, you know, maybe a package deal.
Yeah, like there's a TV commercial here that talks about having soft tacos or hard taco shells. Why not both?
Kestela sauce.
Yeah.
Is that what they say over there?
What's that?
They say Kestela sauce or whatever it is. I think it's
probably, yeah. I would. Well, I mean, maybe it's an Australian I've heard
version
that.
Of that ad. Yeah, we have the same. We have the same commercial, but
okay. Yeah, I've not. That's not the phrase that I my Spanish is negligible at best. So what is your biggest concern that you have this year? I mean, what is the thing that going into this year that you're most worried about? And what, you know, and if you see these things happening, you're going to kind of go, uh-oh, this is not going well.
I think there's probably two things. One is, it's really important that we get off to an okay start to the year. Last year we started 0-3, and that really sort of set us back, especially when all the injuries started coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it really hard everything was a struggle all year round. There was a transition period for the club as well, with Joel Selwood having left in the summer. There's just a lot of things went wrong in that early part of the year. And so I think I would like to finish the first month of the AFL season at least 2-2. You know, in a perfect world, we win every game or win 3 out of 4. Probably not going to happen, but history would say even when we win premierships, that doesn't happen most of the time. But if we can be 2-2, that's great. I think probably the other thing, though, is it's been a long time now that Geelong's been on top and playing a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be the one that says it's all going to come crashing down this year. But eventually, sometimes the message gets lost and it can come really quickly and age comes really quickly as well. And we've already had the conversation about the age profile, but I guess the conversation about the messaging and the game style, is Geelong able to invent itself yet again?
Mm-hmm.
We've been very, very lucky as supporters of the club and to see Geelong reinvent itself multiple times over a 17-year period since 2007. The off-season of 2006, really. Can we do it again and again and again? I think eventually other clubs take over. Collingwood shown away, and somehow we got that premiership in 2022. That'll be the big question mark for me is if are the coaches up to it as well? They're fantastic coaches, but
yeah.
And I have no reason to believe that they won't. But that's probably the big – there's a couple of question marks there around that. Is that going to come eventually? Maybe it won't be this year. Maybe it'll be next year.
Well, does this – I mean, with what happened in 2022, if supporters of other clubs are listening to this, they're going to laugh at me for saying this, but does it reflect the brilliance of Chris Scott and in terms of his coaching ability? Because he got that club to a premiership. I mean, you know, he got them to the grand final in 2020 as well. And, you know, if Gary Ablett doesn't break his shoulder in the first half of that game, it might be a different outcome in that game.
I completely agree. I think he's a terrific coach, and will go down as probably one of the greatest coaches ever. Maybe even the greatest coach ever, potentially, depending on how things go. And mm-hmm. and even when we haven't made grand finals, we've fallen a few kicks short. We've made preliminary finals. Maybe things might have been different when we lost to Melbourne in 2021 if we didn't have a virus rip through the club a few days beforehand. So
right.
Maybe not. Melbourne was still a pretty good team that
year. Yeah, they were. They were.
But we might have been. We started pretty well. We kicked a couple of goals early, and then we ran out of steam after that.
Well, I will say here really quickly, because this is going to come out after I put out my top eight, my ladder predictions for this year. I have Melbourne falling out of the eight totally this year.
Mm.
So, probably
not the only one that might say that. And we're hearing some. I won't say what they are, but we are hearing some quite disturbing rumblings, things that maybe haven't been reported through the media yet, which we're not newsbreakers on the Hoops crew. We're quite happy just to sort of take the fan
to react to the news.
Of a reaction channel, yeah. but there's some things we're hearing which we're a little bit, oh goodness me, hopefully that's not true.
I
think they'll drop out too.
I as much as Cat supporters are going to hate to hear me say this, before the injury bug hit them in the last few weeks, I was actually contemplating putting Hawthorn in my eight. I just really thought they were going to be the club that made the leap this year. And I know Cat supporters are going, shut the hell up. We don't want to hear that. But
thumbs up.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, I still, my lease on my van is not up as of yet. And I still have that sticker on the back of my van that says I support two clubs, Geelong and whoever's playing Hawthorn. So.
Look, a lot of people saying that too, that Hawthorn are going to be the team that makes a big improvement this year. Yeah. I think there's, you know, I can agree to some extent that they've got a lot of good pieces in that team. Whether they can put it together, who knows? I think they've got this idea that it's their destiny to bounce back really quickly, and that's just a typical Hawthorn arrogance, which often serves them well.
Yeah.
But hopefully it doesn't work that way, and I'd love to see them bottom out again and have a 15-year rebuilding process. That's the nasty person in me.
Well, you know, and that's that. And that, yeah, that's I'm still hurt. Yeah, no, I know. Do you look at and I guess I did not notice him in the games, and I need to go back and watch the practice game again. But did O'Sullivan even play in that game? Because I don't remember seeing him out there. Maybe I missed him.
He played in the match simulation game against Carlton. He didn't play in the senior team Essendon. Sorry, mm-hmm. He played VFL. That's probably an indication to him and to all the fans and other clubs that he's probably going to come in. Not round one, but I think we'll see him in the first month of the season. Let's just say that.
So you think that, yep, you know, with, you know, Radaglia's spot in the back six, who do you see filling that in the interim then? Because I mean, that may be where they're looking at plugging him in eventually.
Yeah, I think there's probably still enough pieces there initially. I think Kolodashnyl probably, if he's not too sore from a bit of a knock that he copped on the weekend, I think he's had a couple of weeks to get over that. But I think he'll still be in that six for now. But I see it. I probably see O'Sullivan and maybe one other making it really hard for Kolodashnyl to hold his spot through the mm-hmm. year. Or he could be in and out a little bit. He's probably the one that gives me the... I mean, he's a solid defender. There's things he's really good at, but there's probably a piece missing there that hopefully, you know, we can get some other guy to come in and add some new elements to that back line, which we really need. And the Max Home one's going to be an interesting one in that back line as to if that's where he plays, that dasher off half back. This reminds me a little bit of Wojcinski, different type of player, but that speed off the half back, you know, Wojcinski going back 10 or 15 years now, but that was just really setting up a lot of the Geelong attack, and teams were having to structure up a little bit differently to stop his run, and then you have attacking players like Scarlett back then as well. Geez, I'm going back in the time machine a bit here, but I think Kolodashnyl is probably for now is still the one, and I think Asava Radaglia, he wasn't, I think we figured out by the end of the year, he wasn't in our best six, He individually, he looked really good, mm-hmm. but as a unit, it didn't quite work. So I think there's other guys that'll still be there and have opportunities, and we haven't lost those pieces yet. Hopefully O'Sullivan becomes part of that mix. He's forcing some other guys to have a rest every now and then.
Yeah, because he's a big lad. He's, 197, I think it was 197 centimeters, I think it said he was. Something like that. Pretty big kid.
Very focused, very competitive. As I said, we hear all good things about him. We haven't really seen a little bit of him in some training sessions. But hearing some of the players and coaches talk about him, there's only really good things from him. So hopefully he stays fit. Really, really keen to see him make a good go of it.
You know, we've been talking here about how old this squad is, and it is one of the older squads, but I'm looking at the list on footywire.com, and 19 of the players on the list have 10 games or less of AFL footy. Basically half the list is 10 games or less, and half of that, 10 of them, 11 of them don't have a single game of AFL footy. You know, so this is they're and again, they're not all going to pan out, but you know, you look at the, you know, you look at the those youngsters there, you got Nevitt and Emerson Jekka, who's played a handful, Mullen, Shannon Neal, Jai Clark, you know, Toby Conway, you know, these are all names that, and you know, O'Sullivan's down there, you know, all names of players that by 2025, they may all be in the 2022, in the top 22 week in and week out, you know? So it's just then how do you fill in behind them? You know, once this older group decides to, you know, to hang up their boots and to go off and do whatever it is that they're going to be doing after this. And again, I'm not trying to push anybody out the door. Trust me. I'd rather win another premiership as they're on their way out the door than not.
Oh, I completely agree. I'd rather win a premiership and then fall off a cliff. As I said earlier, I'd much rather that than, because they're so hard to win, and you mm-hmm. might not win another one for 50 years. So it's
which worth, means, it's which worth means that pain. Would be my last one.
Yeah. It's 100% worth it if you can win one. You'd give everything to win one. You know, we get a bit spoiled at Geelong, but it's going to be a balancing act. Like, you want to play a lot of these guys that have had some exposure already, like Mitch Nevitz and Ollie Dempsey's and a few other guys of that mold. But there's also some guys that you want to give an opportunity to that haven't played yet. You want to see what we've got there as well. So, and you've got the older guys that still think they're good enough and still believe in that the premiership is a realistic dream still. So how do you balance all three of those?
Yeah, this is where we'll
have a say in it.
Yeah.
It will eventually. Yeah.
And of course you hope that that's not the case, you know, for anybody, but it is an inevitability. You know, you've got a lot of players that still are, looking at you got Zach Guthrie, Chloe Stengel, Holmes, Bruin, Ollie Henry, DeKoenig are all between, 77 down to 43 games. So still basically only about 3.5 to 4 seasons in their careers also at the most. I mean, so that's another half dozen of solid kids. I mean, when you really boil it down, we've got to figure out who are going to be our key forwards in the next couple of years and who's going to be that other, bull in the china shop in the midfield to replace Dangerfield. I mean, there's a lot of young talent on this side that is just waiting in the wings. And again, it's all dependent upon whether or not they stay there. You know, is somebody like Max Holmes going to be moving on to somewhere else? I mean, there are some good problems to have.
It might be another player that decides to move along. Like, I don't know. There might be a young guy that wants to go back home to their home state
True. That's true.
Or a senior player that decides to retire 3 years early that we weren't expecting to retire. Tom Stewart's decided he's had enough at the end of this year. Like, that'd shock a lot of people, but he's over 30. Happen. Don't worry, Geelong fans. That's not happening. But these things do happen. And there might be another player that decides they want opportunities in another club. And you think, like a Mitch Nevitt or an Ollie Dempsey's, and where they're just on the cusp and they've just proved themselves as Geelong players, and all of a sudden they want out for whatever reason. So, I mean, that's what happens, but it comes our way too. Like, we might be able to recruit someone else from another club and sort of helps us. And we've been good at that.
What do you, because I've heard rumblings that that there was discussion about playing Stewart a little bit more in the midfield this year. Yeah. What I'm just curious as to why that, earlier about, Chris Scott being a brilliant coach. Yes, he knows a million times more about the game than I'll ever know. He's going to forget more about the game than I'll ever know. But do you take your best defender and put him in the midfield? I mean, I explain that one to me.
Okay. So I'm not connected to the club or have any say in match committee meetings,
right.
But I think it's well known that Tom Stewart has a bit of a license to roam, and they trust his decision making and his awareness and spacing and all that. I think probably what they're really saying, and just my opinion, is that Tom, if you want to go 5 or 10 meters more forward, or if you want to explore further up the ground, by all means do it. Primarily, we want you as a defender, but feel free to roam a little bit more than what you do now. We need to trust more of these other guys to take more responsibility down back. I don't think he's going to be he'll be there in the on a wing once in a while for a bounce in the middle, maybe even in the center once in a while, but he won't become a center a midfielder as in the traditional sense of a midfielder. I think it's more about, Tom, we can see you running around the ground a little bit more.
Okay.
That's my read on it. I could be wrong.
I feel a little better about that then.
I think it's just, look, Tom, we don't need you to be anchored to the back line as much as you are. And he's already, as I said, he has a bit of a license anyway. I think it's like, no, Tom, push forward more. You're a contested ball winner. Doesn't mean follow the ball around the ground necessarily, but if you feel the need to push a little bit further up the ground, by all means go for it. That's my feeling on what they're trying to do.
Let me ask you this as a follow-up then. Do you think that part of the thinking of that decision or that discussion is because of the performance And now the trust that they have in Zach Guthrie to maybe backfill and do some of the things that Stewart had been doing?
I think so, yeah. And I think they've got a lot of trust in Mitch Duncan in that halfback role as well. That really good decision maker and can execute kicks out of defense. I think you just have to put the trust in other guys. And if it doesn't come off, it doesn't come off. But you're probably not going to reach the summit unless some of these things come off. So you can't die wondering, I suppose. Stewart will probably be an All-Australian defender if that's just you keep him locked in the back line and anchored down back. He'll be fantastic. Maybe he won't win All-Australian this year if they change his role a little bit or give him a bit more freedom to roam. Maybe they'll expose him the other way a bit more, but maybe the benefit of doing that will result in some more damaging plays, forward entries and so forth. So I don't think he'll become I joked about it on the socials about him becoming the AFL's best goal-kicking midfielder because he kicked a goal in the practice game, but it was more tongue-in-cheek. But I think you've got to trust the defenders. I think there was a lot of trust in 2022. No one expected Sam De Koning to become the player he was in 2022.
That's fair.
There's a lot of trust shown in Asava Radigalia. There were opportunities where he was down back and exposed horribly, but the club needed to see what was going to happen if they put him in those positions, because players get injured as well. So, what happens if Tom Stewart's not there for 12 weeks of the year? Can these guys take that responsibility and do it?
Right.
So I think it's exposing them to those situations to see what's there and whether they can handle it.
You couple in with that, Radiglia kind of had to be out there a little bit more because of Jack Henry's foot injury last year. That was a bit of a problem. So it allowed them in a way to even, knowing that he had this desire to go to Port Adelaide, it allowed them to kind of showcase him a little bit and say, hey, here's the player you're getting, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire to get as much in terms of draft capital as we can possibly get out of you. Even if it ends up being, a pick in the 50s or 60s, we trust our, selection abilities enough that we're going to find a gem out there that you're going to go, oh crap, they picked that guy up with that pick. That was a great move on their part.
Yeah.
So
we try these extra picks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm a big fan of, trying to have as many, in the AFL, you kind of have to solidify your list, but with the NFL, you got general managers, the list managers, if you will, who are making trades to bring in as many draft picks as they possibly can to have as many irons in the fire to see which ones are going to get hot for you and which ones are going to turn out to be players. So if I only draft five guys, I've only got five chances for somebody to be, to become a great player. But if I can figure out a way to get, three more draft picks, I've got eight guys, maybe one of those guys turns out to be somebody who has a long, illustrious career that otherwise they could have ended up with somebody else.
It's true.
Yeah. So 100%. I don't know, but the season is going to come to an end. Whenever that happens to, be for the Cats, whether it's in, September, if there's finals footy there, but once the Cats play their final game this year, what is the headline at the end of the year in the Geelong Advertiser? What's the paper say about the club for 2024?
Well, I think it will probably end in a preliminary final loss. That's a really interesting one. I think inevitably there will be maybe three, four players that hang up the boots. Now, whether they're still in our best 23 at the time, who knows?
So who do you think those are going to be?
Well, Tui will probably be one. Mm-hmm. Hawkins might be another one that might want to retire on top if he's still going well. I don't want to see him really fade away quickly and struggle to put one foot in front of the other. I don't want to see that day come. I think it's still too early for Cam Guthrie. I think he probably feel like he's lost a year and wants to make up for that. Mitch Duncan talks about playing a couple more years, but who knows? It's a long 24 rounds of footy. It's a long time. And and minds can change a lot over the course of a season, and your body might start telling you something at some stage. But
and your family may be telling you something also.
Exactly right. There's Reece Stanley. He's probably seeing the signs of. Got Toby Conway. He'll probably keep Toby out of the team for a fair bit of the year, and he might go, well, do I really want to play five games of senior football next year, or do I want to retire now, having been a significant part of the senior team in 2024? And but maybe that's not going to be the case next year, so maybe now's the year for me to retire. There'll be, I suspect, three or four. So I think the story will read, we fell short of the ultimate success, but have we got, I mean, I'm not good at writing headlines, clearly, but have we got what we need underneath that to go again next year? I think for me, it's just a big question mark.
Yeah.
On the Cats heading into the next year, there'll be a lot of unknowns. I suspect this year will be a positive one on the field. I think next year will probably be where you start to see a lot more questions. But that's all predicated upon us having a really reasonably healthy year in terms of injuries.
Yeah, that's certainly fair enough. And I guess it could be, if they wanted to take a snarky approach, it could be something like, Cats to have one of the youngest age profiles in the AFL in 2025. Something along those lines.
Baby's army. Dad's army.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
We'll be at the maternity. Well, I don't have the end of year, end of season, Mad Monday or whatever it is at some baby's home or something.
The father son's army, yeah, if you will. But yeah, so you mentioned, and I don't know if we did this while we were recording, but you talked about you had a club that you thought was ready to make the leap into the top eight in Adelaide. You think that they're going to be I think you said Adelaide, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I'm hearing a lot of people talking about Adelaide as taking the next step. I think they'll probably go close. They're one that could be a middling team again, or they could take another step. I don't think they're going to go backwards on last year.
Yeah.
Probably very unlucky not to play finals, if I'm being honest. But for me personally, and maybe this isn't a big jump, but it might surprise some people, I have GWS finishing the home and away season on top of the ladder. Not going to say they'll win the whole thing. I don't think they will win the whole thing, but I think that they're starting to put the pieces together there, and I expect them to be very competitive. I liked what I saw last year, similar to Carlton. What I saw. I think they're a little bit forgotten about, a bit slept on, GWS. I think they've got a player in Tom Green that I'm really, really big on, and I think he could be up there in Brownlow calculations.
He was great on my fantasy team last year.
A team to watch, and I don't want to play GWS at all. So if the fixture came out, the Geelong didn't. They always seem to get us. That could be a sign. You look at the premiers of who did they beat? Which up and coming top four teams did they beat when they were still a developing team? GWS always seemed to get us. Maybe that's something pointing to something bigger on the horizon for them. So I think they're going to win maybe 18, 19 games this year.
I wish GWS, I wish we were playing them at Giant Stadium rather than in Geelong, because it's, GWS and Fremantle. It seems like every club that doesn't have any kind of red or blue in their jumpers seems to get the Cats in Geelong. They play well against everybody else, but those two clubs just seem to give them fits at Cardinia Park.
I don't know what it is. Hopefully we'll get them next time.
Yeah. So, you ready for a couple of trivia questions here? I only have five for you here because I know you've got to get rolling here. So, all right. These are actually all from mostly from last year. These four players, all who played at least 16 games, and we only had four last year that averaged more than 20 disposals in the year last year. So these all played 16 games plus. They averaged 20.
Averaged 20 disposals. Mm-hmm. Tom Atkins?
Nope.
Already failed, have I? Max Holmes?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness, mate.
Yeah, it's this is in many ways, this was a harbinger of why the club was mired where it was last year.
Let me just cheat because, a little bit. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not cheating. I'm just pulling up the names.
The interesting thing is that only one of them was really a midfielder.
Okay.
One I would say was probably spent most of his time out on the wing, and two of them were defenders.
Well, Tom Stewart.
There you go.
There's one. Mitch Duncan.
Yep. That's two.
Yeah. Ryan Myers.
Mm-mm.
Not quite. Okay.
Nope.
Did Dangerfield play 16 games?
He did. Yep. He's the third one.
Okay. I didn't think he did.
He's the third one.
Not Zach Guthrie.
Nope.
Mark Blitzars. All right. Tell me who are who have I missed?
Isaac Smith.
Isaac Smith. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Isaac Smith
must have been that last game of the year where he had nearly 40 touches.
Yeah, I mean it is. If you think about that, because this is the last preview that I've done, and I've asked that question of every club. That is the fewest number of players that had 20 plus disposals per game, and only one of them is really a midfielder. I mean, that tells you just how screwed up our midfield was last year.
Yeah,
I mean it was a rabble last year. I mean, overall, you know, there were some good performances, but, you know, no Guthrie out there, just and Dangerfield was dinged up a little bit. They still managed to get it done. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah. So
everyone dropped off.
Yeah. This player led the club with 6.1 one percenters in 2023.
Tom Atkins.
Mm-mm.
Percenters. Oh, it'd be a defender, I think.
Yep.
Not Zach Guthrie.
Probably the one you wouldn't be thinking of either.
Kolodashny.
Radaglia. Radaglia.
Tui, maybe.
Nope. It was the Sava Radaglia that had 6.1.
Sava. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Fair enough.
Yep. Now, this was surprising, knowing... I'll just ask it. This 20 game player led the club with 93.7% time on ground. It's a lot of time out there. And this person was all over the ground, which really surprised me.
Tom Stewart? Not Tom Stewart.
Mm-mm.
Let me think. Tom Hawkins? No,
they sat him quite a bit because of his foot early in the year. He spent a lot of time off. Yeah. You're in the right area though.
Jezza, maybe.
Yep. Jeremy Cameron. Yep. 90, I mean, as much as he comes up the ground also, that's typically been a defender that's been that out there that long.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. I've got one more, for this year, and then I have one that's kind of an overarching question here for you. So this player led the club with 514 meters gained per game last year.
Isaac Smith?
Nope.
Can I say Max Holmes again?
You can, but I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't tell you that it was right.
Tui gets a bit of range, I think.
Not this Tui much. Either. Not this much.
He's got a raking foot.
I think this might count for, this might help with all the kick-ins also.
Mitch Duncan.
Tommy Stewart
again. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I get so much of it too, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think of him as a long kick, but he can kick it 50 meters, I suppose. But
well, but he has a lot of kicks. He was one of the ones over 20 disposals.
He's very damaging by foot. More, his kick to handball ratio is a bit higher than most.
Yeah. Okay. So, does the overall in the history of the club, does the club have a higher winning percentage at the MCG or at Marvel?
I'm going to say I think it's Marvel, which Marvel came in early 2000s. We were pretty dominant. I'm going to say Marvel.
Yep.
Yeah. Just based on the
66.5% at Marvel and 54.9 at the MCG.
I was actually going to say about 55% sounds about right at the MCG. So yeah, Marvel, because it's at the right. If we had been playing at Marvel for 100 years, it would have been a bit different, but yeah.
So, you know, you have, before we wrap up, I know you got to go here in just a second. You have kind of merged a couple Cats podcasts together, if I'm not mistaken. The Hoops Crew and the Chaps Chat Cats podcast have merged into one now. Can you tell us how that happened, and where can people find all of your content if they want to check it out, or when they want to check it out?
Yeah, sure. So myself and Paul James, we were part of the Hoops Show YouTube channel, and we were good friends with the boys from the Chaps Chat Cats for 3 years or so. I don't know how we got in touch with each other. I think we just all like Geelong content, whether it be on audio or video, but we've just been talking a lot over the years, and we just thought, well, why don't we try to do something together? We sort of flirted with that a little bit with a couple of things here and there, but we thought, well, how about maybe we put things together and the sum of our parts improves everything across the board, so we can lend more to the audio space as well in terms of Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and they doing a lot more of the video stuff as well. And so it's been very early days for us, but we're really, really happy with the way things are going, and our numbers are going through the roof, which is fantastic. And just, we're excited about all the new stuff we've got coming as well. So the best probably way to find us, we're all over the socials as well. Just look for the Hoops Crew on various different socials, and some of our programs. I think the Chaps Chat Cats have got their own socials as well. But yeah, we've got a Patreon account as well. We've got extra content on there, which is either early release stuff. It's exclusive to the Patreon, which if you're really interested in knowing about how some of these younger guys that we've talked about on today's episode, how they're going, Jake from the Chaps is all across the VFL, and we'll do exclusive stuff for the VFL just on that Patreon channel as well. But we've got heaps of stuff. We've just dropped an interview with Jed Buse on the channel. That was great.
Oh, wow.
We've got another one coming as well with Dr. Peter Larkins, which is probably the next one, dropping on Patreon this week as well. So that'll be on YouTube next week for free. So lots of good stuff. It's just an exciting time.
Terrific.
For us.
Yeah. Once I lock in my flight dates, I'm going to start reaching out to you. Yeah, because again, those games and those rounds, they're not, the day and times are not locked in yet. It's that range of like 3 days. So it's like the Thursday through Sunday. The game's going to be played sometime in here, so I don't know specifically when yet, but I'm going to start reaching out to clubs to say, hey, I'm going to be here in Melbourne and Geelong, you know, during this month. And I'd love the opportunity to, you know, to try to come in and, you know, meet with people and talk to some folks. And I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to reach out to the AFL house. I'm going to try to talk to as many people as I possibly can while I'm there, and just, you know, try to get as many voices, you know, recorded as I can, and then spend time getting, you know, putting out content while I'm there as well, and do a lot of sightseeing and
do it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So Ben, I appreciate your time this morning, sir. This was a lot of fun. You know, I'm sporting my new cat. I always have to wear the ones that have the whole name on here, because if I wear a hat with a G on it here, nobody knows what that particular G stands for.
It's a little bit blurry. You probably can't see that.
No, well, you mean that one right there?
Yeah, that one, the Richmond one.
Yeah, the Richmond one. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been nice had they used a different color on it, but oh well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm hoping to meet as many of you there while I am there in person.
Definitely.
And you know, hopefully have a sit down and chat and hopefully enjoy four Cats victories.
All of them, all four. Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah. Well,
and then fly home and watch another 10 or so.
There you go. That'd be great. That'd be great. Well, if it's 10 after I'm there, I think we're playing in the grand final then. So that would be awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's me doing the maths.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, Ben, I appreciate your time today, sir. And I want to wish your club the absolute best in 2024.
And yours.
All righty. Okay, man. Take it easy.
Take care.
Bet. Cheers. All right, Ben. Hey, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to sit down and chat with me. Love talking cats, and I'm really looking forward to this season. I'm cautiously optimistic. Maybe one more rodeo before we have a significant changeover with the club. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember you can find everything about my podcast over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. You can get on the mailing list there. I do hope you'll do that. So when new episodes come out, you'll have those in your inbox within about half an hour of when they're released. If you enjoy the podcast, I invite you to go back to listen to all 18 of the preview episodes. I've sat down with club-specific podcast groups or individuals who are super fans of their club to talk about their clubs. Absolutely some great discussions. If you enjoy it, like I said, if you enjoy it, you want to leave a review, you can do that over at my website as well. It's a huge help. Gives me some street credibility, if you will, with the podcast community. And also, if you want to help out the show, you can click on that Buy Me a Coffee button as well. You want to leave a voicemail there, which we can certainly include in an episode. You could do that as well. And if you've got an idea for a guest, maybe you'd be a great guest. You've got a great story to tell, or you know somebody who has a great story to tell, please reach out to me. I love telling the stories. I'm never going to be that person that's able to decipher the absolute ins and outs of what went on during the course of a game to where I'm going to, you know, pretend to know more about it than people have been following the game for their entire lifetimes. But I love sharing the stories of people who are fans of this game. And again, you can find all that stuff over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. And ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Check up on your friends. Make sure they're okay. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out. Please reach out to them. All those numbers for both Australia and the United States are listed in my show notes every single episode. If you need those numbers, they are there. Please check the show notes. I appreciate the kind words from everyone. This has been a very busy month or so in doing these preview episodes, and I'm kind of relieved that I've got the 18th one finished and ready to share with you, and now I'm ready to start telling other stories as well. So like I said, if you've got a story, I'd love to hear it. I'll be doing my weekly episodes with my mate Mick Aussie, as well as dropping some individual episodes as time permits as well. Like I said, I thank you for the kind words, and may your dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 315 of A Yank on the Footy. Remember, you can reach me at @yank_ on Twitter or X, @yankonthefooty@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, on LinkedIn as well. I thank you for listening. I do hope you'll share the episode. I do hope you'll share the website with your friends and family. And until next time, cheers and goodbye.